Well, hello, and welcome to radio. Yes, I'm aware it's been a while. I am aware of that. I have been traveling, and, you know, back in the old days when I was on the road doing the music thing, I would try to cram so much stuff in during the day. I would do my podcast. I would do some writing for my regular job. I would do a lot of stuff, travel around, visit with people, just make all of the days fill up beyond the time that I spent playing, you know, the music. But I've realized finally that maybe I'm not quite as young as I used to be. So I spent my time this time concentrating on the gigs, which were about 16 gigs in 15 days. So that took a bit of time. And then a dear friend of mine lost his mom. I was in Baltimore. I flew from Baltimore to Nashville for one 24-hour period, left at about 6 a.m. Maryland time on a Monday, and flew back on a Tuesday at, again, about 6 a.m. My only day off was spent doing that, visiting with my friend and seeing my daughter in Nashville. So that was my day off, and it was necessary, and I'm glad I did it, but I don't have the energy I used to. And then when I got home back to Denmark from the U.S., had a day off, then went out and did a writer's night that I host. I wasn't expecting to play. I was just expecting to host and wound up performing. Then my wife needed help with her work in Sweden, which is about a three-hour drive from where I live in Denmark. So I drove up there, helped her out in the afternoon on a Thursday, drove back on the Friday morning. So that's what I call taking it easy. So I'm sorry I've missed you a bit. Sorry that I have not been as present as I would like to be here on the podcast and on the radio show. You know, things have come up. You know, I really made a decision this time that I plan to stick to, that my life as a pub-slinging, guitar-toting, cover-singing pub guy is pretty much winding down. I am not old, and we did the whole thing about ageism before, but my energy levels are what they are, and I suffered through COVID, and my energy levels are what they are, so I've just decided, you know, I spend a lot of time away from home doing this thing that I love to do, which is entertain people. I love entertaining people. I love making people laugh. I love telling them stories. I really, really love being out there in front of an audience. But I'm not as crazy as I used to be about the travel. Let's face it, getting on an airplane used to be a thing, man. I remember the first time I flew. It was incredible. You know, I was first class by accident. I think I've told you that story before. Maybe I'll tell you again. But anyway, and the food came on real plates, you know, like china. They were plates. They were porcelain and with metal utensils. And the food, while not great, was certainly better than what you get now. In fact, I had a transatlantic flight this time. And I went from Denmark to Reykjavik and from Reykjavik to Baltimore. None of those flights offered so much as a free bottle of water. I somehow thought water was a universal right, that if you were thirsty, any decent human would offer you some water. But no, no. On these flights, there was no meal. There was no meal, no bottle of water, no coffee, no nothing. If you wanted it, you had to pay for it. And on these flights, the airline shall remain nameless. I'm not playing around. They shall remain nameless. You know, not being playful. I don't want to get anybody in trouble by playing with things, but they offered nothing. You had to buy food. Now, buying anything on an airplane is always sketchy and ridiculously expensive, but they offered snacks, Pringles, you know, chips, soda, also alcohol, and they had like ham and cheese sandwich or pizza, or a vegan wrap, all of which could be warmed up, all of which were ridiculously expensive, and all of which were universally horrendous. Horrendous. You could go to any convenience store within the sound of my voice and get a better slice of pizza than you'd pay 15 euros for on this flight. This stuff is ridiculous. I mean, being on an airplane used to be, oh my gosh, it used to be something, you know? I don't know that people should dress up like they used to. I don't know if a fella should have a fedora on and a jacket and a tie and some nice slacks. It would look pretty good to me and certainly look better than the fella that sat two rows in front of me. Here we go, in March, in Copenhagen and Reykjavik, on to Baltimore, wearing a tank top and a pair of khaki shorts and a pair of flip-flops. And this was not a toned individual. This was a rather large fellow. And that's what he was wearing on the flight. Now, I'm not opposed to that kind of dress in my backyard or when I'm out playing softball or when I'm walking my dog. But really, on a flight where other people are going to sit in that seat later on, come on, at least put a shirt on. You know, I mean, it was a thing when I was a kid. We lived close to Baltimore, Washington International Airport. Well, Baltimore, Washington, Thurgood Marshall International Airport is what it's called now. When I was a kid, back in the 60s, it was simply called Friendship Airport. And my dad, who had not done much flying, yeah, I know that he flew when he was in the military, and I know that pretty much, to my knowledge, was the extent of my dad's flying. He loved to go to the airport. Now, before 9/11 and security and all of the things we have to go through now, taking our shoes off and all of that. Every Easter, we would get dressed up in our Easter clothes. You know, my sisters would usually be wearing a matching outfit that my mom made on her sewing machine out of some material that she'd found somewhere from a Simplicity pattern. I wonder if anybody out there remembers the Simplicity patterns. And with the safety pins and the pins, straight pins stuck all over the place on the pattern there, and mom sewing it on her Singer sewing machine. My sisters would wear these matching outfits, whether they wanted to or not, by the way. And I would have on some suit, my Easter suit, maybe the only suit that I would get that year. And I didn't get a new one that year if the old one from the year before fit, because coming from my part of the country, coming from where we came from, you had suits for holidays, and when you got older, you had suits for holidays, weddings, funerals, and if you had to go to court, that's why you had a suit. So, but there I was in my little sport jacket and bow tie, because mom, for some reason, I don't know why, but mom liked the bow tie on me, white shirt, shoes carefully shined, and my little jacket and pants, and sometimes a hat, sometimes a fedora, or sometimes a hat. My dad seemed to like that sort of thing. And we would go to church, do the whole church thing. And sometimes, you know, I'd have to switch out of my suit jacket anyway, because I was in the youth choir with my little white robe and little ribbon tied around my neck. And we'd sing, you know, Jesus Loves the Little Children and some Easter songs. And we'd go to the airport. We'd literally get in the car and drive out to the airport, even though we weren't going anywhere. And we would go inside the terminal and walk to the gates, which you could in those days, whether you had a ticket or not. We'd walk out to the gates, or what was called the observation deck, and we'd watch the planes taking off and coming in and looking at the airplanes, wondering where people were going, wondering where the planes were going, and the people were dressed nicely and they were flying somewhere. And as odd as it sounds, we looked forward to it. We looked forward to going and watching those planes at Friendship Airport take off and land. And I've often wondered if that somehow contributed to my sense of wanderlust, my sense of needing to be on an airplane flying somewhere. Because goodness knows, it became a large part of my existence. From the times I was kind of gently running away from home. I mean, I wasn't really leaving home. I was just kind of getting away going to Alaska, going to Colorado, going to different parts of the U.S. and eventually winding up in Europe and then flying many, many places to play music. I wonder if that wanderlust would seem to affect no one else in my family, not my sisters, not my mom. I wonder if it came from, at least partially, from just watching those planes take off and land and seeing those kind of well-dressed, somewhat elegant people flying and going somewhere. And now, come on, you guys, there is no elegance left in air travel. It's like taking a bus. In fact, taking a bus in some parts of the world is a much better experience than what you get on an airline these days. I was on Airbus coming back from Reykjavik the other day. I don't know if it was 3:30. I don't know what it was. But I'm a relatively tall guy, not monstrous, 6'1", 6'2". I could not fit my knees between my seat and the seat in front of me. Mercifully, the person in front of me decided not to put their seat back because I don't know what I would have done. Literally, my legs were touching the seat in front of me. This is no way to travel. This is no way to travel. And then no food, no amenities. I don't even know what the flight attendants do anymore, really, except show us all how to buckle a seatbelt. They do an important job. Here are the exits. Here's how to do this. Here's how to do that. But I would submit that anyone who needs a lesson in how to buckle a seatbelt maybe shouldn't be on an airplane. I'm just freestyling here. If you want to fly and don't know how to buckle a seatbelt, that's what they're there for these days. Because goodness knows they're not bringing you anything to food or drink on some of these airlines that are out there now. And of course, you have to pay for everything. You want to carry on, you have to pay for that. You want to take a bag transatlantic across the U.S., you have to pay for that. And you have 20 kilos, maybe, I think. 20 kilos is not a lot to be able to make a transatlantic flight. And if you go, I went a couple of kilos over coming home, and it was going to cost me 144 euros for about 2 or 3 extra kilos of stuff in my suitcase. Absurd, man. Believe me, I took that stuff out, stuffed blue jeans and some shirts into my carry-on. This was my personal item that I could bring on without paying for. And I carried that thick, crammed backpack full of 2 extra pairs of blue jeans and 2 shirts and socks through 2 airports and security and everywhere else until I got home, because I was not going to pay anybody anywhere 144 euro for, you know, 8 extra pounds of clothes. It's nuts. It's nuts. And it's, I don't want to call it a scam, but it is a scam. A lot of this stuff is sort of part and parcel to what happened to us with a lot of things during the pandemic, where prices went up, services got worse, things got bad, and now we've become so accustomed to it, so inured to it, that we don't even pay attention. We don't say, wait. This price went up because of supply problems or whatever was going on during the pandemic. Or, you know what, I cut my fee as a musician because, you know, there weren't a lot of people coming out and I wanted to play and you were having some rough times. So I'll bring my fee down and the price for this meal went up. And these things happened while we were all in lockdown. But you know what? That's not going on anymore. And those fees, you have to fight to get those back up, and the prices are not coming down. And they just stay there. And we've become so, it is what it is. It is what it is. And air travel, as I said, I used to love it. I used to look forward to it. I was always not a nervous flyer. Flying doesn't make me nervous. The getting there and getting on and being on time and being late and all of those things, I'm not very pleasant to fly with like that. I'm one of those guys likes to get to the airport 3 hours early, sit in front of my gate, making sure that I'm looking at the gate, looking at the sign, so nothing, I don't want a seat that faces away. I want to look at the sign, at the gate, at the door, and make sure that I get on the plane on time. I'm that guy. I'm a pain that way. My wife hates to travel with me. My kids make fun of me, but that's that. But I've always loved it. Always loved the experience. Not now, man. Now I literally dread it. And that's one of the reasons why I think that I'm about to put this road running to an end. It's just not fun in that way anymore. And I love to entertain people, and I love it when people want to be entertained. But like so many things in our world these days, even the entertainment of people has sort of become codified, sort of become something that happens by a certain book, by a certain script. People, when I used to do music and I used to go see music, I loved to sing the songs or play the songs that people didn't really know. Of course, you know, you play stuff that people want to hear, but then you want to put in your original songs, and you want to put in a song by a writer that you really admire who's maybe not getting a lot of play. Or you just want to try something new, and you go out there and you do that. And that's what I want to hear when I go out. That's what I want to see. I want to see people doing something different. But these days, too many audiences that are wearing the same baseball cap turned around backwards in the same way and wearing the same t-shirt with the same slogan on the front and the same khaki pants and the same boat shoes, they're not the least bit interested in listening unless you're playing something they already know, something they heard another guy play the night before and another woman play the week before and on and on and on, the same 20, 25 songs. They want those songs. That's what brings the folks into the pubs and into the tiki bars and into the restaurant lounges. And that's what they want to hear. And if you move outside of that just a little tiny bit, you lose their interest. You lose their interest because they're so used to the fast food consumption of food and music and everything else in their lives that something that moves outside of those lines makes them ridiculously uncomfortable. They're like, oh, I don't know that. So I'm not going to listen, or I'm going to talk over it. I watched a young woman the other day, talented singer-songwriter, just so good. Young, attractive, had all of the skills. I watched her doing her thing the other day, and she was playing these songs that literally, myself as a songwriter of many, many years, I would have been proud to have written any of these songs, and not a single person was listening. Not a one. But as soon as she dropped into one of the banal, I don't know, country-ish things of the day that everybody knows and everybody sings along with, boom, boom, she was a hit. But as soon as she moved out of that, as soon as she tried to challenge them, as soon as she tried to make them feel something new, they didn't want that. That's not what they want. They want that consistency, that boring consistency, that moronic consistency. Well, you know, we're all dressed alike and we're wearing these clothes and we're drinking this drink and it's a White Claw or it's a this kind of beer or a Natural Light. And, you know, we're kind of used to that. And really, we don't want to be challenged. We're just out here to kind of be semi-brain dead. And, oh, look, there's someone up there playing. Should we pay attention? Nah, probably not. Wait a minute. They're doing something that we know. Yeah, let's sing along with that. Let's sing along with that. And I admit that for a lot of the times you're working for tips, you're working for indulgences in the tip jar. So you go that way. You go that way. I mean, I want my tip jar to fill up. These days, the fees that the restaurants, pubs, whatever are paying, they don't really cut the mustard. So that's your money right there. So you go that way. And I just decided, you know what? I don't want to go that way anymore. I don't want to go that way anymore because it's very much like, I don't know, it feels unclean somehow. People sing along, they like the music, they come up to you after the show, they tell you it was great, they were like, oh man, really had a great time, thank you so much, really, really, can't wait to see you again. And I walk back to my room and I sit there and go, I did not have any fun. I did not enjoy that at all. Had I been in that audience, I would have been bored to death. And I just can't do that with my art and my music and my work anymore. So my thing is changing. So that means I'll be here more for podcasts and doing more original music. And you'll be seeing my face and my name hopefully pop up in different environments, talking about songs that I've written, stories that I'm telling, songwriters' nights that I'm doing, something just a little bit more special. I'm 67 years old. And what do we get? I'm hoping for 75, 80 years. I'm hoping for that. And I'd like to enjoy that. I'd like to enjoy that time. I'd like to do it doing something that I went, man, I'm really, really glad I did that. I'm glad I spent the time on that project. I'm glad I sang that song. Believe me, there is nothing wrong with making people happy, no matter how you do it. But I have to make myself happy. I have to do that. And that may require me to drop some of my going along to get along things that I've done in the past so I don't ruffle anybody's feathers. You tend to do that when you live life as an immigrant. Living in Denmark, especially as an American, you know, it's not as hard as people that are here that are from the Middle East or Philippines or Somalia or other places. It's not as hard. My life is not as hard as those. Believe me, it's not, because I'm a white dude. I mean, if that offends somebody, that's just the truth. I have an easier way to go because of the color of my skin here. But that being said, I'm still an immigrant. I'm still somebody who kind of keeps his head down and goes along to get along and finds myself not saying things that I would say on both sides of the Atlantic because I don't want to, you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't want to bother people with my stuff, but you know what? I'm going to start bothering people with my stuff. And here's one thing that's bothering me right now. I just saw this today, and I'm stunned. I'm astounded, and I'll leave you with this one today. But this really bothers me. Apparently, without even getting into the politics of it, apparently there is a principal, school principal in Florida that had to resign her position because a teacher showed a picture of Michelangelo's David to a bunch of sixth graders, and three parents basically referred to a picture of one of the most incredible pieces of sculpture in the history of the entire world. They called it pornography and said that parents should be warned when their children are going to be shown pictures of a naked man. The first thing is that it's not a man. It's a statue. It's a statue of a man that was crafted by one of the greatest artists that ever lived in the history of the world. And it was originally commissioned to go to a church. It was going to go in a church because it's David, of David and Goliath, from the biblical story. And if you're offended by this, I don't even know how to communicate with you. This is classical art at its best. This is what your children should be seeing. And if you think your sixth grade student hasn't seen hardcore pornography on their computer, you're crazy. You just have lost all perspective. They can see anything from anywhere in the world at any time. And they are. Believe me, they are. And yet we have a chance for them to see an absolutely breathtakingly beautiful depiction of the male form rendered by an artist whose mind I can't even begin to fathom, and a chance to dialogue about this. And this principal has to give up her job because apparently three kids went home and told their parents they saw this picture of the David, and so that's wrong. You know, I loved my parents. Anybody who knows me knows how much I loved my parents. But I am so glad that my dad, who had a ninth grade education and was a hardworking blue-collar man, I'm so glad that my dad and my mom, again, a woman who never got out of high school because she had me when she was barely a teenager, were not in charge of my school's curriculum. And they were glad they weren't either. They were glad there were teachers there to take me further down the road than they could have taken me. My mom taught me the basics of reading. My dad would sit with me constantly with my multiplication tables. Bless his heart, never did him any good. Still can't make change. But the thing is, they knew that there were gaps in their knowledge. They didn't expect to know or be able to dictate or say what the school could teach me. There were occasions that there were things that were sent home. I remember sometime 9th, 10th grade, they let my parents know they were going to do sex education. And you could sign on or sign off of that. Sure, sure, that's fine. But this idea that you can't show David? This is one space where I have to say to you, my American pals, Europeans laugh at us. They laugh at our absolute inability to realize that every human being has a body, and sometimes it's naked. Sometimes it's not going to have any clothes on. I believe that Bob Dylan wrote, "Even the President of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked." And that's exactly right. And I have no desire to see Joe Biden naked. But the fact is, he does have to be naked once in a while, as we all do. And to teach children that there's something shameful about seeing a statue, a man visualized in a block of stone, this amazing piece of work. And this gets a principal fired? I don't really know how to respond to it, and I've talked too long about it, spent too much time here on this radio show talking about it. But these are the kind of things that literally make me crazy. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week. I'll be wearing clothes, by the way. I always wear clothes when I'm doing the podcast, just so you know. Always dressed. Always dressed. See you next week. I'm Ray Weaver. This is Radio. Make sure you tell your friends about it. And take care of yourselves.